I am so glad you're all here tonight. You know, missing church is a misdemeanor. Do you know that? Not to go to church is a misdemeanor? Yeah. Missing church is a misdemeanor. The more you miss, the meaner you get. So if you want to be sweet, go to church. Glad you're here tonight. Thank the Lord for you and to rejoice in the Lord. You get your preacher back tomorrow. Is that right? All right, yeah. And every time I went on, what am I, turn on? I thought you turned it. They turned it on back there. They didn't turn it on? I don't know how to turn it on. Come up here, preacher. People who work in sound systems, if there was a purgatory, they'd have to go around. You know what I mean? You got it? Okay. Can you hear me now? I'm sorry you can hear me now. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go, if you will, please, to Mark's Gospel. And I want you to go over there to the fourth chapter of the book of Mark. And I want to read verses 35 down to verse 41 tonight and see what God has for us in this wonderful text here tonight. That's Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on into the ship, so that there was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saying to him, Master, carest not that we perish? What a statement to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think he came 2,000 years ago so we wouldn't perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be and still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. I want to talk about facing the storms of life. Facing the storms of life. Well, let me say, as you look at this, the storms of life are sudden. I find here in the text that's so true here. They're sudden. They're unexpected. I remember back in 1989. I know it's a long time ago. How many can remember 1989? Good. I don't remember much, but I remember that. Because Hugo hit Charleston. And it was our anniversary present. We were there 1 year to the day when Hugo hit. And I'd never been in a storm like that before. And people kept saying, you need to leave town. I said, I can't leave town because my church people may need me. I'm going to stay in town. And we lost, I think, over 20-something trees, part of our roof, all of our fencing. And it unnerved me a little bit. And we were in the dark for two weeks, whatever, honey, I can't remember. And we got to Hugo. And I thought about that because we realize storms are real. But I want you to know the storm that is here. God was doing something. Storms of life are sudden. They're unexpected. They're unexpected. Let me say this tonight. You either are in one, headed into one, or just gotten over one. You know what I'm talking about? That's storms of life. I mean, you are in one, headed into one, or emerging from one. And I want you to put something there so you can get back to it. And I want you to go over to the book of James for a moment. And as you go to that James chapter 1 for just a moment, with me if you will, please. And I want you to notice here some truths about storms of life. They're trials that we go through. Look at verse 1. James, a servant of God. Chapter 1, verse 1. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now that is quite a statement. Think with me for a moment when the trials that you're going through, God says you're to rejoice in. And now understand this. Verse 2 will never happen unless you live in verse 1. If you're not living in verse 1, verse 2 will not have any meaning to you. There are some people, I fail to ask how you're doing because I don't have a couple hours. They're focusing on the storms of life they're going through. But I'm reminded here, he says in verse 1, Jesus, a what? A servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. When you place yourself under God's authority, you begin to realize God is in charge of what you're going through in life. Therefore, you can have joy. Without verse 1, you can never have the joy of verse 2. They are unexpected. And they are certainly unescapable. Look here again in verse 2. My brethren, I'm going to read this verse wrong, okay? So you correct me. You get mad at me and correct me. He says, my brethren, count it all joy if you fall into divers temptation. I read that wrong, didn't I? It's not if, it's when. You will go through the very trials of life. I suppose we could ask some of you to stand up tonight and tell us about the trial you're going through. And I'm sure all of us, we've all been, like I say, you're either in one, headed into one, or just emerging from one. So they are unexpected, suddenly. I mean, without understanding. They are unescapable and they are unexplainable. You can't explain them. We often say, Lord, why am I going through this? Spurgeon made this remark. He said, we are prone to engrave our trials in marble and write our blessings in sand. Well, we need to reverse that. We need to engrave our blessings in sand and marble. And then engrave, and then in sand for our trials. The storms of life are going to happen. They're sudden, without the end. They were in this storm, and all of a sudden that storm hit them with great force. But notice if we go back to our text in chapter 4. For the storms of life are not only sudden, they are, would you get this? They're sacred. Preacher, wait a minute. How can you say that? We were on the phone. One of the churches, we did an interview. We've actually spent 43 years in the ministry thus far. 40 years as senior pastor. In the last 13 years, we've done interims. 13 of them all over the place. And we're winding that down now. But church in Tennessee, a wonderful family. Oh, we love them much. We got a phone call that the dear lady that we love, Debbie, who has had cancer, the doctor said there's absolutely no hope that she'll survive. Now, our Lord can heal her. But I guarantee you, all of God's people will be healed when we get the glory. I have learned, be careful about praying about people who are sick that we try to keep them here. Listen, it's okay. Let's get them to heaven. That's fine. We're all going to be healed. Amen? Hallelujah for that. But they're sacred. I want you to follow, think about tonight, a principle of God's Word called the 50-20th principle. 50th-20th principle. So when I get that principle, I want you to go to the book of Genesis. And I want you to go over there to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Here's the principle. The storms of life are sacred because they're sent by God. Do you know that that dear, sweet lady whose name is Debbie, God allowed that to happen? Look over here to the 50th chapter. I call it the 50-20 principle. He is talking to his brothers. You remember when he was sold into slavery by his brothers? And verse 20 says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God, what? Meant it unto good." I want you to underline that thought. When he was in prison, God meant that unto good. When he was betrayed by his brothers, God meant that unto good. When they put him in the pit, God meant that unto good. Now, there is some other verse. I want you to go to get that principle down a little more in your thought. Go to the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis. And that's when his brothers, after he meets them, they come to Egypt. And he meets them. And over there in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, you will find three times the statement that I want you to get. It shows what God is doing. The storms of life are sacred. They're sent by God. Joseph, when he was making these statements, he was in the perfect will of God. Get this, you can be in the perfect will of God and still be in storms. Do not think for a moment that when you're going through things that it is God's just getting even with you or getting after you. No, God, look at these statements here. I want you to notice the first one in verse 5. "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." He's talking to his brothers. "You sold me hither, for God, where God did send me before you to preserve life." And right by that verse are written God's providence. You know what the word providence means? Now, the word pro is before, and the word video. Your life has already been played out. God's already seen it. He's already seen it. And it will turn out God's way, and it turn out for the best. So here we see God's providence. Then I go down here to verse 7. And again, he says, "God did send me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth." Here we find God's preservation. The first time he said it in verse 5, I see God's providence. But here I see God's preservation. God is doing something here. And then I notice verse 8, the third time he says it. "So now it is not you that did send me, but who? But God." Here we see God's promises. God's promises. "He has sent me, God had made, sent me, but God, he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and the rulers throughout all the land of Egypt." And he had promised Joseph, he said, "One day everybody's going to bow down to you." And God always fulfills his promises. I see God's providence. I see God's preservation. And I see God's providence, or promises, to be fulfilled. And so if you go back to that 50th chapter for just a moment, here's the 50-20 principle. Get it down. Make sure it's here, because storms are sent by God. "But as for you, you thought evil, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people of God." Is in the midst of everything that happens in your life. Storms of life are not only sent by God, but they are a mystery. I don't fully understand them. You know, God does not explain everything to you. Did you ever notice that? As you're going through things, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalm. And I want you to turn over there, Psalm 31. And I want you to look at verse 15, because here, these storms are sacred, not only because they're sent by God, but storms are a mystery. We notice what he says here. Look here. "My times are in thy hand." You know that every detail of your life is in God's hand tonight. Every little, tiny, and every big detail of your life. He said, that's what he means when he says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from that persecute me. David wrote that psalm. He said, listen, they can't hurt me without your permission. I like what John R. Rice said years ago. He said, when somebody threatened your life, he said, you can't scare me with heaven. I'm ready to go. And so we see here, the storms of life are a mystery. The storms of life also are the miraculous workings of God. I want to think of a couple verses tonight. And listen, when you're going through something, would you please quote Romans 8:28? We know that how many things? Yeah, now, let me get real deep here tonight. You know what the word all means? You ready? This is deep. It means all. It means everything. Works together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. As I think about that, I want you to turn with me now to another verse, and that's in 1 Peter. So I want you to turn to 1 Peter, and I want you to go to chapter 5, because he deals somewhat with the storms of life. They're a mystery. I don't fully understand them, and they're the miraculous workings of God. And he'll make four statements there, if you'll note them, in verse 10. They're so vital to understand why God does what he gives. Remember the 50-20 principle? This is a thought here. What is God doing? God, here, look at this. He says in verse 10, but the God of all grace. Oh, aren't you glad for the grace of God? He not only saves you, but he sustains you, keeps you going. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while. That's the trials. That's the storms. That's the things you're going through. Make you, and he'll make four statements there in verse 10. Four words: perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The word perfect here is a word means to fix. It's a word that is used in Mark, the fourth chapter, or there in Mark's gospel, the fourth chapter, means to mend something that is broken. When he mended the nets. Whatever God brings some storms into your life, one of the reasons, there's something in your life that needs to be fixed. And that storm will help to get that fixed. That's the idea there. The word establish means to firm up. God will use the storms of your life to firm up your faith. Now let me say, you'll find when you're going through a storm, people say, have you got faith? Somebody said to me one time, he says, I don't have great faith. No, it's not great faith. It's faith in a great God. I want you to get the order there. It's not great faith. It's faith in a great God. Do you have faith in a great God tonight? That's the idea of the word step, to firm up your faith. The word strengthen is to be filled with His strength. The idea of that word. You're going through a trial. You're not going to make it. Listen, you're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. But hallelujah, He'll give us the strength through the Holy Spirit of God. And so He will perfect us, to fix whatever's broken, to firm up our faith, to make it strong, and then strong, to fill us with His strength and settle you. The word settle here means to be fortified with your beliefs. You know something, folks? God, the real test of your beliefs is when you go through a trial. Now, Romans 8:28 is good. But your trial is where the real test of that takes place. So God will send a storm And he will send it to the miraculous work. He wants to do something that only a storm. Listen, some of the best sermons you have ever have in your life is the trials and the testings you're going through. They're some of the best sermons. I look back over my life and I remember when a little girl was born. We had twins, and one of them's home with the Lord. The other one lived, Christina. She, by the way, is 53 now. She lives in a home for the handicapped in Charleston. We haven't seen her for over a year, honey. We can't get to, they won't let us go see her. And when she sees us, she's mentally handicapped. Something like some of the government officials, they're all mentally handicapped. But anyway, the liberals I'm referring to, they are. But I remember when she was born. I remember when I was told that she's legally blind, would never walk a day in her life. I remember when she was 4 years old. How many are y'all familiar with seizures? 3, 4, or 5 minutes, right? Hers was 3.5 hours. The doctors that could not figure out why she lived through it. And as God took us through that trial, Lord, why? Have you ever done that? You know, the Lord never answers our why question. Never does. But He used that little girl so many times in the lives of people. And He's used it now. It has strengthened our faith just to have a child like that. And we rejoice. Storms are sent by God. They're a mystery. They're miraculous workings of God. And are the purpose of magnifying the Lord. See, our problem with us when we have a storm, a trial in our life, we'll focus on the storm. I said earlier, some people, I don't dare ask how you're doing because I don't have 2 hours. They're focusing on the storm. Don't focus on the storm. Don't focus on self. Focus on the Savior. And on times that I've gone to prayer, I have prayed, and Lord, help me. Did you ever just say to God, help me? Remember when Peter was sinking? Shortest prayer he ever prayed. Lord, save me. Help me. I'm sinking. But when you focus on Him, when you focus on the Lord, everything will change. You see, you're not to focus on the trials you're going through, but the one who will get you through. Where's your focus tonight? Where's your focus tonight as you're going through what you're going through? Then think with me for a moment. These storms of life are sudden. Certainly, we don't know when. I don't know when my next storm is going to take place. Boy, how many know when your next storm is going to take place? You don't know. It's going to happen. And there are sacred, remember the 50-20 principle? Don't forget that principle. He said, God did it. Not to punish me, but to do something marvelous. Storms of life are so the servants of the Savior, all under the control of God. They are controlled by His promises. Look over there. Go back to our text there in Mark's Gospel. And I want you to notice something here as you look at this. They're controlled by His promises. And He said, let's go back up here and begin to read again what He said. Let us look at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, He said to them, let's pass over on the other side. Now, the Lord would never ask him to do something that wouldn't happen. Are you listening to me? He said, let's go on the other side. Now, when our Lord says something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. As sure as I'm up here tonight, it's going to happen. And that's where we need to be, just relying on the promises of God. He said, you know, if they would have perished, notice what they're saying. They said, you don't care that we perish? Well, you can't perish if you're going to the other side. I don't know when the Lord will take me home or my wife. We're getting up there now in our 80s. But it's okay. Because God is going to carry us through on the other side. As sure as anything's going to happen, He's going to do that. And I rejoice in that. Our son, who lives in California, and his wife are coming out. My daughter-in-law, sweet girl. Often, I think, to make sure we're going to be okay. And, boy, I'm enjoying that. That's okay with me. Come on out, check us out, make sure we're doing okay. But they are controlled by His promises, and they are controlled by His presence. Look here with me in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, and so it was now full water, had just going to sink the ship. And would you get this? And he was in the hinder part of the ship, what? Now here you see the humanity of Christ. Christ was the God-man. He's asleep. Do you know why he's asleep? Go over there to that first part of chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Same chapter. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathering to him a great multitude, so they entered the ship. That's the ship we're talking about. And sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them. He spent hours teaching them and healing, working the work of God. And you know, in his humanity, he's exhausted. He's exhausted. I had to go home and take a nap this afternoon. But I heard that this young whippersnapper took one too. So, you know, and he had a full day that morning. Because we get tired. My grandson, is a Navy officer in the United States Navy. And his whole goal is to be a Navy SEAL. I don't think he's very bright, but if he'd be a Navy SEAL, but he wants to be a Navy SEAL. And he already went through what they call Hell Week. Passed it with flying colors. And they liked him so well that they called him and said, why don't you just become a Navy officer? You got a BA and a master's. You're going to be fine. Now he's got to through 6 months of more training. And he told me, he said, Grandpa, he said, they lined us up. And they said, every one of you will not make it through here. We're going to flunk you all out. And their whole goal that week is to see who would make it through. He was exhausted. He said, I'd sit down. He said, get up! We'd go to take 5 minutes sleep at night. They'd wake us up. Exhaustion. How many have been exhausted? We all been exhausted. Our Lord was in His humanity. We call it the hypostatic union. We have the humanity of Christ, and we see the deity of Christ here as well. And notice He... Verse 38 again, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and they said, hey, Master, care us not that we perish. Boy, don't we say some stupid things to God? I mean, you know, come on, let's face it. We've done some. You know, aren't you? Listen, I am so glad that not all my prayers have been answered. I have asked God to do things that were pretty stupid. In my life. Am I the only one here tonight that's done that? And I'm thankful he didn't. And they're just acting ignorant of God. And we find here, he said, he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And he did those things. You see, they are controlled by his promises. We're going to get to the other side. They're controlled by His presence. He is there. And They're controlled by His power. Now, I want you to see something here. Because we not only see His humanity and His deity, but He does something rather strange here. He arose and rebuked the wind. Now, I want you to know something. The wind was created by Satan himself. You remember over there in Job chapter 1 when the wind tore down that house where the family lived? They were having a party. The devil is so real. And we sometimes forget how real the devil is. He's very real. And he will do all he can to destroy you and me tonight. And if he can't do it physically, he'll go after our faith. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, get behind me what? Didn't say get behind me, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. And I want you to know tonight that all God wants to take care of your life. If you're listening to me, the devil wants you tonight. Sift you as wheat. Try to do all he can to destroy. He tried to destroy. He saw, here, he brought a wind along and their control. He controls Satan's power and he controls our circumstances. Look what he said here. He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace be still. And I want to tell you tonight, only God can bring peace in your life. You see, when you're going through a turmoil, you're going through a storm, if you don't focus on the Savior, you won't have peace. They said we're going to perish. They had no peace. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. Now, this was written by Paul. Where was Paul? Anybody know where Paul was when he wrote this book? Well, let me help you if you don't know. He was in prison. And it wasn't a cushy place where with a television and everything. I mean, they mistreated him. But I want you to get here a verse in verse 6. Look at that verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made unto God. And what's the next verse say? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I see three statements there in verse 6. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And be thankful for all things. That's what that verse teaches. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And be thankful for all things. Be thankful for all things. Does that include the storms of life? Absolutely. Because it's a test where you are spiritually. And they are controlled. You know, I have found all kinds of Christians in these 53 years of my life as a pastor. But I want you to notice there's three stages of maturity. And God wants every one of us to be in a mature stage. Are you growing? Or are you just Christina Stevens? Mentally, she's handicapped. And people say, oh, poor Chrissy, I feel sorry for anyone who's spiritually handicapped. They're not growing. Now, I want you to get these three words because there are three stages on the road to maturity. First stage is trust. Remember when you trusted Christ as your Savior? I was except he becomes a little child, you'll no way enter the kingdom of God. Isn't it good to just trust God? And then the second stage is trials. God will bring trials in your life to deal with those four things that we talked about earlier. Remember those in 1 Peter 5? You bring trials. God wants to do something. And you can never mature without trials in your life. I hope you've never raised
a brat. You know what a brat is, don't you? So he's the B-R-A-T. He's the benefactor of relaxed adult training. I want to tell you tonight, God doesn't raise brats. He doesn't do that. He'll bring the disciplines of trials in our life so that we will be what we need to be. That's the second stage. First stage is trust. Oh, I remember those early years of a Christian trusting God and just got saved. I got so happy about being saved. But if you're not careful, you'll lose that. You should be just as thrilled about being saved today as you were when you first got saved. That's part of maturity. Second is trials. And the third is triumph. That when you discover, are you ready for that? When you discover that fellow who is in the back of the ship sound asleep, they were afraid for their life. He is our life. Everything about life is Him. And when you come to the conclusions that He is what your life is all about, the trials will have meaning as you go through them. Just go back to our text as we'll finish here tonight. Now, I want you to notice something. It's very, very interesting. He not only controls our promises. They are controlled by His promises. Storms are not only controlled by His promise and by His presence, by His power. He said to Satan, "You will listen, they're going to go across. I'm going to get them across the other side." But they're controlled by His purpose. Now, I want you to notice something. And look at verse 40. "And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" I said it a little while ago. It's not great faith. It's faith in a great God. But why are you so fearful? One thing God wants to remove from you as you go through the storms of life is F-E-A-R, that kind of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of what? Power and love and of a sound mind. By the way, that speaks of each person of the triune Godhead. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That's the Holy Spirit. Love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then a sound mind. Jesus Christ lives in us. That's the mind we need. But I want you to notice something here. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. They went from one kind of fear to another kind of fear. God wants to get rid of the fear that we may have. Being scared of the storm must be replaced by the right kind of fear. That fear in verse 41 has reference to a reverential respect and an awesome, be awesome about God. I get a kick out of people. You know, that's awesome. This is awesome. When you look at the word awesome in the Bible, you'll find it only refers to God. He is the only one who is awesome. And we need to fear Him because God can do anything, anytime, with whoever He wants. He's God. And so don't fear storms, but have an awesome respect for the God who takes you through that storm. Let's bow our heads. They feared exceedingly and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? He's God. So I come tonight as we close this service tonight and ask you a question. How are you handling your storms? How are you handling them tonight? You're going to have them. But I want you to know, do you see them as sacred? Do you see what God is trying to do tonight in your life through the storms? Or they become so real and rich in your life because you know they're sacred. And you know that God wants to perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Where's your focus tonight when you go through a storm? I want to say it reverently and kindly, but if your focus tonight is on the storm, that's sin. If it's on self, that's sin. And if you focus on self, you focus on the storm, you'll become bitter. You focus on the Savior, you'll become better. Is it not to be better than bitter tonight? Are you following the 50-20 principle tonight, so real in the Bible? God did all this, says Joseph. And they're controlled. You're controlled by His promises. He'll get you to the other side. He'll get you through this. His presence is real there. And He basically told Satan, He rebuked him, and He calmed the storm. And I know that whenever you're going through a storm, thank God He's in the middle of it, but also so is the devil. And if you focus on the storm or self, you will invite the devil to take over and destroy what God, your faith, tonight. There are three stages. Thank God for trust. But I want you to know something. We need to thank God for our storms, our trials. I had to thank God for that little girl who now is 53. One day she'll have a whole body, whole mind, because God never makes a mistake. Thank God, Lord, for the trials. When's the last time you've thanked God for your trials? And then triumph. We discover that when we're going through it, even as they discovered, the one asleep in the back of the boat is the one who not only saved their life, but is their life. Let's stand tonight as our brother comes and leads the song. And if you need to find a place at the altar because somehow God spoke to your heart and He dealt with you tonight and you want to take care of it tonight, if you're here without Christ, come to know Him. How are you handling your storms tonight?